Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, one of your hosts from over at FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we've got 11 new Senior Bowl invitations to get through and talk about and analyze this morning. But also, we've got a declaration from a player who we think might go pretty high in this draft, like a lot of people think might go pretty high in this draft, Connor Williams. Left tackle from Texas, who was hurt and came back. He won't play in their bowl game. He's declaring for the NFL draft. I think most people would say he's the top offensive lineman.
Maybe tackle. I think that's fair.
Because Quentin Nelson.
I brought that up to a couple people, and one of them said that within the NFL circles, they don't love him nearly as much as we do, which is interesting, seeing especially how this offensive tackle class is. I mean, if that is true, and like some people in NFL circles don't really love Connor Williams, then like are they looking at Mitch McGlinchey and thinking like he's the top guy? Because McGlinchey, I mean, like McGlinchey is in a different class where McGlinchey wasn't being forced to be looked at as a top five, top ten pick. I think he's a good player, but.
This is what happens when the top of the class is underwhelming,
right?
And people want to move other guys up. You start to see Colton Miller from UCLA. Them.
Yeah,
he like, starts to move up.
Offensive tackles of the past, and you just can't really do that. And so, like, I think McGlinchey. We're going to talk about Conklin. I think McGlinchey's a fine player, but yeah. I think it's weird that people are overhyping him as a top five pick. So anyways, yeah, all that to say that like I think Connor Williams is great. I think he kind of has all the tools. What are your thoughts about him skipping out of the bowl game?
I don't care about the bowl games. Yeah, I've kind of said that in the past. I feel like that I think it's every player's individual decision. If I were a player, I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I could skip out on a bowl game like that. You know, after a couple of years experience and the teammates, the bond of the team and everything, I think the desire to go out there and compete would be really strong personally, but I don't think that means it has to be the same decision for absolutely everybody. And, you know, there's a lot invested in, you know, your health and making sure that you're okay going into that process. And, you know, Connor Williams is still coming back from injury, and he did play some, you know, to show that he could be back in form. And I think that deserves recognition, but yeah, it does. It won't affect anything for me in terms of his stock. My biggest question with Connor Williams is, yes, I think that there's a lot of potential there, and I've yet to be really impressed by another tackle yet in this class. I didn't get the top 15 feeling when kind of watching Connor Williams. I know he ended up really high on my rankings, but that was just because I'm not really sure who else there was at the beginning of the season. I don't love this draft class. I've kind of said that. I know preseason I had him pretty high, but I also expressed concerns, you know, when I wrote him up, is that he has the potential and the tools to do a lot of things, but like a lot of time his set points are off, and you know his catch release kind of out of his stance is not great. His that drive catch phase that he gets into when you're pass setting. So I think that there's some concerns with Connor Williams that he isn't a finished product for sure yet. And I don't know how much time he gets to develop before he gets thrown to the Wolves. I mean, teams need tackles. They need him to start right away if he goes top 10. Which I think there seems likely at this point. We're way off, obviously, you know, from when the draft will occur. A lot's going to change. I'm not sure that he is ready to step in and be that franchise left tackle guy from day one. Although I love what he does in the run game, and I love his physicality overall.
So they were kind of in the same boat with him.
The whole tackle class is kind of this big glut of confusion, because I think people like things Orlando Brown and Mike McGlinchey do, but I don't think anyone's like, oh, take these guys top 15. Not many people, at least I think, are on that board right now in terms of analysts or, you know, draft analysts, individual ones. I don't know where teams are with those guys. I've said I think McGlinchey can be kind of like, maybe like his peak is Jack Conklin, who's obviously a good right tackle, but Tennessee, you know, they help their tackles out in pass protection more than any team in the league, I think. And so they're going to help him out in that way and then take what he can give him in the run game, which is obviously a good amount. So I think they've used Conklin really well, but it limits your offense some because you have less guys out in route combinations on a typical basis, and you can't really spread it out as much, and you're forced to use heavier personnel a good bit. So it does limit what Tennessee can do in some situations. And I hope that McGlinchey wouldn't provide the same limitations for an offense. I think teams would hope that he could kind of hold his own a little bit more and battle on an island. So I think there's some concerns there. And then there's the names that will move up. I mentioned Colton Miller from UCLA. People are talking about him now. 6'8", 310-pound junior. Chukwuma Okorafor, who I actually was excited about. He's kind of my guy that I need to get to his tape this year because I haven't seen any of Western Michigan this season. But I want to see what he did to improve this season because I think he could be a guy that really flies up boards. You've heard some people probably talk about Tyrell Crosby from Oregon, who I believe he accepted his invite to the Senior Bowl. So there's some names that, and that's what happens when the top of the group is underwhelming or no one really stands out. You start to push these other names up to see if they can get some traction. And yep. We'll see how it all shakes out. That'll be fun. All right. 11 new players accepted invitations to the Senior Bowl. It's a pretty good group, but I think the biggest name is Maurice Hurst. I think a lot of people expect I think he's a top 10 pick if he comes out right now. And now I know it's early in the process. I got a lot of players to watch, but what I've seen him right now, man, I mean, 13 and a half tackles for a loss. He's got 5 sacks. He's consistently disruptive. If you watched him against Ohio State, he was in the backfield all the time, man. He's explosive. He's physical. He's got a variety to his pass rush. He's a smart player. I'm a huge fan. I think he has everything.
Where do you see him at the next level? What kind of defensive system, just to give people – because you're better at explaining trench things than I am. Just like kind of what positions, and maybe if you have a – I don't know about a player comp, but just an efficiency, anything like that with him?
Yeah, I compared him to Mike Daniels in the offseason. I think there's some similarities there between their games. I don't know if Hurst was – and again, I have to sit down and really scout him from this season, but I've seen him live a couple times, and I don't know that he's quite as polished as Daniels is right now, but both are kind of similar in that they're undersized a little bit, but low-leveraged, three-technique type of players who are going to be great in one-gap penetrating, but can also, I mean, Daniels plays double teams probably better than anyone I've seen, and I didn't see Maurice Hurst get pushed around one time on tape last season. I probably watched 5 or 6 games. I didn't see him get pushed around ever, and he's only listed 282. I think he is heavier than that this season. I think he's up there in the 290s, so I don't think his weight will end up being a big concern because he's obviously able to play at a high level with it. But I think that's probably the best comp that I can maybe provide for him, although I'll have to get into him this year and see if that comp still holds true. But I think that type of athletic, rangy defensive tackle who isn't going to be overwhelmed, you know, the Grady Jarrett, Aaron Donald, even those physical prototypes are becoming more and more popular because there's so many teams spreading the field and you're nickel and dime and you need these quick athletic guys to be able to win one-on-one inside. And I think Hurst is just the perfect prototype. I really expect him to be high pick. I just hope he stays on the roster for the Senior Bowl and doesn't, you know, back out. But I mean, I know why he would, because
anytime you're a potential top 10 pick, it's the same thing it's the same thing as a bowl game. Like, if people already think you're good enough, why no reason to possibly, knock on wood, tear an Achilles, tear a ligament, something, just running around playing football, because we all know that could happen. I've only seen Maurice Hurst once this year. I looked at him a little bit before the season. You're right. I mean, he was a stud last year. Saw him against Florida at the very beginning of the year. I mean, completely disruptive against Florida. That Michigan defense was kind of flying everywhere. So, I see every single week in the NFL that interior pressure, if you have a guy that can win off the snap quickly and just take advantage of either guards or centers or whoever is right in front of them, man, it is – it's almost just a play record, right?
I mean,
there.
Look at Aaron Donald. Every single person on the Rams defensive line is better because of Aaron Donald.
100%.
There's like dudes no one's ever heard of, getting sacks. Matt Longacre, you ever heard of him? These guys, but they're all getting production because teams are having to scheme for Aaron Donald. When the Rams run a game up front, every single offensive lineman is checking to see where Aaron Donald's going because they think they're setting it up for him. And a lot of times they are, but it leaves somebody else open, the decoy guy's open, So it just allows you to do so much when you have a guy like that. And I mean, I'm not calling Hurst Donald, but he can be that kind of – he can have a similar impact.
Things for Michigan. He's making the rest of the team better for Michigan. And so that's a fair thing. And when you just think about football from a I guess I'll say like a philosophical standpoint, we always talk about trench play, right? It's very important. That's mm-hmm. where the point of attack is held. That's where games are won and lost. Well, think about it even more direct. If you have an interior defensive lineman, you know, either a nose tech, a three tackle, or a three tech, you know, whatever it is, when the ball is being snapped, they're the closest person to the ball, whether it's, you know, shotgun or back from under center or whatever. If they can get by their guy or even disrupt the pocket immediately, the ball was already right next to them. So at that point, everything has to change. The quarterback has to move. The offensive linemen have to shift. The running back might be taken out of place. So when you can get serious disruption from an interior defensive tackle position, like you said, the names that you've referenced, you know, Gerald McCoy, Aaron Donald, Geno Atkins, like, this is why these guys are paid the big bucks, and this is why they are so important, because when you can do that, you can end a play almost by yourself. It's 11 on 11, no question, right. But, like, when you dominate as a defensive tackle, you can shut plays down by yourself.
Right, and I think a guy who will attempt to be on Hurst's level, because they're similarly built players with similar strengths, I just don't think they're as significant, is Justin Jones, who also accepted his invitation from NC State, played with Bradley Chubb and Kentavious Streeters, I think that's his name, and a really talented defensive line at NC State. This kid's interesting. He's been friends with Bradley Chubb. I think I saw somebody say the other day, like, back to high school. Back to grade school, I think. They went to end up going to college together, playing together. Hopefully his decision to come here maybe has some impact on Chubb and whether Chubb decides to come. But it's good to see Jones and Mobile, and we have our first two interior defensive linemen in Hurst and Jones. And I like that, because Jones is also another, like, kind of stout. He's listed 6'2", 300. I'm not sure he's even quite that big, but when the pad level's right, man, he can take off. Like, he can drive block a guy a few yards deep. He just has that kind of first step to fire gaps. But there's also some issues with consistency. And I wrote this offseason in the summer that there's potential for him to develop into one of my draft crushes, because I am a sucker for those one-gap penetrating three techs and leverage and powerful hands and all that. There's some plays where he shows that, but also he is short-armed. Opponents do work into his frame because he doesn't have the length to kind of keep him off his frame at times. His pad level can be inconsistent. He got trapped a lot. I think Quentin Nelson, it was last year, just knocked him out on a trap block. You know, he was unblocked at the line of scrimmage, and your rules typically, when you're unblocked, if you're a defensive lineman, your rules are look to see who down blocked away from you and then step down in that direction and fill that space, replace the offensive lineman's feet, and look for the puller so you can take him on and then pile everything up at the line of scrimmage. What you don't want to do is get deep, and a lot of times Jones, when he was unblocked, just took off upfield and the puller would come around, just ear hole him, knock him down, and then there would be a big gap to run in where the space he vacated. So I think that those rules kind of were still lost on him at some points, and Quentin Nelson KO'd him on one play, and he got trapped a couple times last year because he was just not quite disciplined enough. So he could be a liability, but I think that there's some potential there. You know, I think a little bit of a more physical Malik Collins, who had a good first step and had some three technique tendencies, like, for a one gap scheme. Yeah, he's an okay player. You know, there's times where Collins gets totally overwhelmed, and then there's times, I think, where he gets in the backfield and is disruptive. And I think that's kind of Justin Jones' impact at this point. Like, it comes in spurts, but there's too much sloppiness in between. So, A, I'm excited to get to his tape this year, but B, like, I think that having him in Mobile is going to be fun, because these aren't, like, you know, your 300, these aren't your Stevie T's, you know? Remember Stevie T, you know, the Buccaneer now? When he was at Mobile last year, and he actually moved pretty well for a guy his size, to be honest. But yeah, we've got some quick athletic defensive tackles so far in the group, so I don't know. I think that's going to make it really fun. Jones has a chance to really help his stock in what looks like it'll be a pretty good defensive line class. Pretty solid.
One of the guys that I was really excited about that you even just broke the news to me that he had gotten hurt was Chris Herndon from Miami, the tight end.
Yes.
I loved what I was starting to see from him. We had heard kind of whispers about his name before the season, obviously with David Njoku being the big-time tight end last year. There wasn't a lot of room for Chris Herndon to do everything that he could. We kind of saw this year the athleticism that he had for the tight end position and how fun that he could be. And then You had to ruin my day and tell me that he had the season-ending injury last Saturday, because I totally missed that. Totally missed it.
Yeah, it's really a bummer, because I think Herndon would have been one of the guys to really elevate his stock in Mobile. And I know he'll still – I think they're hoping that he's still there and participating in interviews and doing things like that.
I'm sure he will be. I mean, right. Chad Kelly was there last year. So.
Right. 6'4", 252. He can run. He did some things after the catch last season. I didn't get to pop on a lot of his tape from this year just yet, but I'm excited to get to him. I think he has that kind of potential. But slowly this is turning into a pretty good tight end group. I know it's kind of a bummer Herndon won't be able to play, but Dallas Goedert has a guy that I think we believe could be a top 50, top 60, and maybe we see him even work his way up from there. Ability with a big week and a big pre-draft process, a big combine. Those small school guys always have a nice chance to elevate themselves. I think that goes for Adam Brenneman. If he can test off the charts or be impressive in that way, and then also show out as a route runner at the Senior Bowl, he's got a great chance to move up his stock. And then two guys I haven't seen much of are Tyler Conklin, who just accepted his invitation, and then Ian Thomas from Indiana. You know, both kind of the prototype mold of the move tight end, 6'4", 240 for Conklin, 6'5", 248 for Thomas. You know, I think they're kind of flex options that you see a lot of teams looking for at this point. I have not seen much of either of them at this point, but I've heard good things about Conklin's ability to high point. Dane Brugler, I think, said he thinks Ian Thomas is a day two pick. So for a guy that really hasn't been talked about at all, it seems like Thomas would be flying under the radar. If he does end up being a day two pick, Dane and I have been very much on the same page with a lot of our analysis so far into the draft season. So I'm intrigued by the tight end group, because I know we were kind of spoiled with last year's group, but I think this group has some potential too, and we've yet to hear from a couple guys who could be options as well here. I don't know what Mark Andrews' graduation situation is, but he is a redshirt junior. So there'll be a couple guys maybe that can join this group that can make it even better. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun little tight end group. I didn't expect that. I didn't think it would be a good tight end group when we were first talking about the Senior Bowl group or even this draft class in general.
Yeah, I was saying – one of the things that I was saying last year when I think I was talking with Eric Galco about this from Occam Scouting, and we were talking about the tight end class. I believe this is at the combine. We were just kind of chit-chatting about it, and you know, with Howard and Joku and just like the class that was Evan Engram, all these guys, we're like coming into an age where, well, I think we're just going to get these freak athletes at tight end and running back almost all the time. And I think that, you know, one of the things that he said was, you know, well, last or this year's class coming up, which is the one that we're talking about currently, you know, doesn't look anything near the one that was before. And I was like, yeah, but I mean, I agree with him, but kind of like, you know, give it time and some of these guys might be able to show out. Now here we have again, if you compare it to last year's tight end class, sure. I mean, it's a little bit of a downgrade, but like some of these guys can really play, you know, and we have a couple of these guys at the Senior Bowl, and Andrews isn't even one of them. I'm sure we're going to find some other, you know, one or two at least tight ends around the country with maybe small schools or under the radar that we didn't know before that can really be players here. And I just think that we're coming into an age of running backs and tight ends as just these freak athletes, because I think that's where the game is going. You know, you get these guys who in high school, you know, you look at their size maybe in eighth, ninth grade, whatever, and previously you might have gone, okay, as a high school coach, you might have gone, okay, we're going to throw like 50 pounds on you and we're going to make you an offensive lineman. Now, if they're athletic, you know, if they're basketball dudes, whatever, they might just go, hey, we're going to make you a tight end. And now all of a sudden you have this massive framed guy who might be just getting more and more athletic as he goes through high school, college, and all of a sudden he's a tight end instead of maybe in another life where he would have been an offensive lineman. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So,
I think somebody said Conklin was a former basketball player.
So, I mean, and a lot of these guys are, but I'm just saying, I think that we are seeing them go the path of tight ends more than the path of offensive linemen. And when you really think about it, I mean, offensive linemen who make it to the NFL, it is crazy how athletic these guys are for body size, you know?
Yeah.
And so instead, you're taking that natural athleticism, you know, shaving about 60 pounds off of it, grooming them to be a receiver, and all of a sudden you have today's age of tight ends. So I don't know, that's kind of my thought with the tight end class, and that's why whether they get picked there or not, I think a lot of these guys can play in the NFL. So
I think one of the most interesting projections, and it goes along the lines of you talking about tight ends and modern prototypical NFL fits right now and the what offenses are attempting to do. To me, all of that and all that new age stuff and kind of moving players and messing with personnel packages, Dimitri Flowers is such an intriguing player for that reason, because, you know, a 6 foot, 247 pound guy for Oklahoma, but he does a little bit of everything. I mean, he's a blocker. He's listed, going to be listed as a fullback probably. But he lines up in the slot. He runs vertical routes. You know, he comes across the formation as a split zone blocker, like a tight end would almost. I mean, he does a little bit of everything for this team. He even has 13 carries, only 26 yards this season, but he's almost always a short yardage guy. He scored four times. He has 22 catches for 393 yards. I mean, this is a fullback averaging 18 yards a catch. And he has four touchdowns on the season. Last year, 11 catches, 200 yards, 18.2 yards per catch, four touchdowns. So he scored eight times on 33 career receptions, and he's averaging, in the last 2 years for Oklahoma of his career, he's averaging 18 yards per catch. This is a vertical threat at fullback, so it's a really unusual. No, he's a unique player, and I was so glad that the Senior Bowl invited him to Mobile, mm-hmm. because I think he is such an intriguing player. The questions are obviously going to be, okay, he does this at Oklahoma where defenses are spread out and he's finding space to work through. How fast is this guy? You know, is he going to run in the 4.8s? Because, you know, then I don't know if we can use him in that role. But, you know, he's been asked to do a lot of different things for Oklahoma. He's one of the glue guys. I think they speak highly of him there. So I think that he has the chance to really help his stock in a couple ways. Can he show out on special teams? I think that's going to be key in the game, maybe, or whatever it might be. Can he show out on special teams? Can he show high football IQ, which I would assume he has given the number of roles that he plays at Oklahoma and the fact that, you know, his teammates speak highly of him, and he's clearly a communicator when you watch them out on the field. So there's a lot of traits about Flowers. Not going to be a top 100 guy probably or anything like that, but can he be a day three guy that plays a ton of roles for a team that maybe is the third tight end but also the first fullback, gives them some flexibility for 10 snaps a game on offense, kills it on special teams. That's Flowers' role at the next level.
Is he a good football player?
Yep.
Because championship-level teams need good football players at the bottom part of their 53. And coaches will tell you, man, that when you start to get into those, this is our 47th, 48th, 49th guy on the roster – Dimitri Flowers might be looking at something like, hey, he might be even the 53rd guy. They might be, you know, on the last cut, and this guy is probably the last guy that they keep on the team. But if they utilize him, if he's a good football player, if you got good football players in the last handful of guys in your cuts on your team, that could be the difference. That could make you a championship team. So
I agree. And another interesting aspect of the Senior Bowl group is – well, we say it every year, but the Wisconsin seems to just get these guys – that end up being really good. I mean, you think about the long list of even just edge guys that they've had come out in recent years that have ended up being good football players. We've got two more seniors. I don't think we should look down just because they didn't play that much, because remember, there's two redshirt seniors at outside linebacker for them this year, but they've both played at an extremely high level this season. Remember, they were stuck behind Vince Beagle and TJ Watt and Joe Schobert before that. And so this team's had a long list of these guys playing at a high level as outside linebackers in this defense. I have heard, and this is from our boy Owen Reese, who offers some great insight on Wisconsin. He covers Wisconsin. He's always given me some tidbits on a lot of these guys. Wisconsin's defense is arguably the best in the country. You know, it's definitely one of the best in the country. Inside linebacker, they already lost Jack Sitchie, and Ryan Connolly and TJ Edwards have played at a really high level. I don't love either of their NFL projections, both redshirt juniors. But on the outside, Leon Jacobs, I don't know if you've seen any of this guy, but Owen was the one that first kind of turned me on to Leon Jacobs and checking him out before the year, because he has some freakish ability. He's moved him around to different positions. He hasn't even been invited to Mobile that I know of. You know, I don't know what his status is, but he hasn't accepted or anything yet. He's a redshirt senior that looks like he could be that athletic freak type of player that teams take, even though he's a little bit raw and they move him up boards. Physical, the dude, his body looks almost identical to Danelle Hunter, which is a rare thing, but he is jacked beyond belief. So Leon Jacobs is a name to watch, but his running mate across from him, the bookend, Garrett Dooley, did get invited and accepted his invitation to Mobile. Going to be very interesting, because Dooley, nine and a half tackles for loss, six sacks this season. He's played really, really well against the run for Wisconsin. Again, I don't see a whole lot as pass rushers with these guys right now, so I don't see a whole lot of refinement there. So I don't think we're talking about day one guys or anything like that. But if they can show that in one-on-ones, I don't know how much pass rush is even prioritized, really, to be honest, at Wisconsin. But if they can show that in one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, you know, I think it gives you a nice little chance, because Vince Beagle was inconsistent last year at the Senior Bowl, but he flashed a spin move at one time, a swim move, and I was like, whoa, if this guy gets it to where he can employ these moves consistently, he could be a nice little player down the stretch.
Yeah. No, I do. The Wisconsin, there's a Wisconsin pipeline.
Oh, my. Right.
It's very real.
It is. You wouldn't think it, because they don't always necessarily. I mean, Beagle and Watt kind of trump things because they were good athletes, but I didn't think that they always, you know, produced that level. But I feel like it's just gotten better and better. And so many of these guys are walk on. Sitchie was a walk on. So it's just kind of crazy to see how many guys they've been able to produce that are walk-ons, and they've been able to develop that talent. It's one of the best coach teams in the country, perhaps the best coached. It just really, really, they develop talent so well there. Iowa, they've got two guys heading to the Senior Bowl, Sean Welsh and Akram Wadley. Welsh was a guy caught my eye over the summer. I think that he's a three-year starter for them. He is a very talented football player, I think. I don't know that he's a high upside guy necessarily, but I think he's a guy that can contribute some. What I want to see from Welsh is pass protection. I got to see him in those one-on-ones. I got to see him in team pass protection drills as well. You know, see how well does he communicate? Does he pass off games well? You know, because I don't think they're such a run-heavy team a lot of the time at Iowa that I don't know that he had as much experience with that and as I, you know, you would like to see as we'll have in the NFL for sure. So I think that there needs to be some improvement in that area. But he's a good player. I thought he could be a day two guy. See what he offers this week. Akram Wadley, this running back group gets the potential for it at least.
Your boy, Akram Wadley.
I do like him a lot. I don't think he's like a, day one or early day two type of pick, but I think he's a guy that'll be on a 5'11", 191, you know, I think it'd probably be unrealistic to project him to a feature back role or anything like
right,
that. But
I agree.
But he's a guy who can play a role for your offense that if you know how to use him, the packages he plays can be really instrumental for you. So again, it goes back to kind of the Christian McCaffrey conversation a little bit, where guy you want on your team, yes. Guy you want to take in the first round, not in my opinion. So Wadley kind of goes into that, I think, a little bit. Is that valuable guy to have on your team, but let's just make sure we prioritize where he should go in the right light. But man, Royce Freeman, Akram Wadley in this Senior Bowl group already. We're going to have some big names, Kalen Ballage, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel. All those guys are going to have opportunities to accept invitations. You wonder if Chubb might want to accept, right? I know he's put a lot out on tape, but you wonder, not for an injury. You know, I know people would be concerned about another injury, but I think at the same time, he'd want to show teams that he can do something. You know what I mean? Like, they show him up close, because scouts are going to be right there. They're going to be watching him. They're going to be talking to him. I at least think he'd want to be there.
I don't know what Nick Chubb's going to do. You know, especially with him making it through a full season, you know, full couple seasons with that knee being intact,
right?
And I don't know, man. I might just shut it down and let the combine speak for itself and be like, yo, look, this is what I've been able to do off a knee injury. I've gotten better ever since. I was a monster before it, and I'm about once. You can convince people that he's about 1 year away from basically being as good as the projected guy that you thought he was possibly going to be as a freshman, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, you can – man, it just perception. Perception is so much to the aid of certain draft picks. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you don't even have to prove it.
Right.
As long as you can argue it, you are often in the better position because you don't have to do anything, because speculation can be your biggest aid. You know, you get these GMs and coaches to just get their brains going and think about the possibilities. What if? And then if all of a sudden you get them on their side, then you might be getting picked higher than you should. And that's all part of the market game of the NFL draft. And so I'm not really sure with Nick Chubb. I think he's kind of done enough, but would I love to see him in a different setting? Sure. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
But his camp, I'm not sure. I'm really not.
I think that, there's a lot of options for Chubb. You know, I don't think there's necessarily a right or wrong answer, but we'll see what he decides, what Michelle decides. Ballage may get an invite to this game. We'll see. It just has the potential to be a really strong group. Now, I will say this. I don't know how much you learn about running backs at the Senior Bowl, at least at the practices anyway. The game could tell you something. I think you learn about them in pass protection drills. And I think you learn about them as receivers, route runners, as pure runners. You know, you're not being tackled, guys are not coming full speed to you. So there is, you know, everything kind of slows down a little bit. I think you do when you get up, when you get up and you watch the all 22 film of some of these practices up, in the hotel after, that's when you can kind of see what the running back sees and see where their cuts go and things like that. But when you're watching live anyway, I think it gets a little difficult to be able to scout these running backs, down at the field because, there aren't all the factors that they would face in a game like setting, but nevertheless, fun group to see, and we'll at least get to see them as in terms of every down roles. Can they protect? Can they catch the ball? We'll see those kind of things, which are obviously important. This year's DB class, man, or this year's DB Senior Bowl group. I feel bad, but I can't talk. I don't know any of these dudes yet. So, you know, Duke Dawson's the only corner. Here's your seven corners so far. Okay, you ready for this group? Danny Johnson from Southern. Teron Johnson from Weber State, Michael Joseph from a Division III school, Saron Neal from Jacksonville State, Shandon Sullivan from Georgia State, and Demontre Wade from Murray State. So I don't know any of these dudes at all. I never heard any of them before. All small school guys. Four FCS corners, and then Shandon Sullivan from the Sun Belt, and then a Division III kid. So, and then we have Duke Dawson from Florida. So we're going to see more names added to the list, but a ton of small school senior defensive backs so far, and we'll see if we get any more. But, you know, the most recent ones, I think, to accept were Teron Johnson from Weber State, and then at safety, Trayvon Henderson from Hawaii. I'm excited the Hawaii guy's going to be there. But he's the only safety to accept so far, and we've said it's a weak safety class, so all these dudes in Mobile at safety are going to have a big opportunity, to prove themselves and elevate their stock, because teams are just going to be dying for safety help. Isaiah Wynn from Georgia, guard, haven't seen him yet, but he's the only other guy that we didn't get to that accepted invites. So, again, the group continues to get stronger, a couple big names in there, Hurst and Wadley, and I think a couple guys that will be really, really intriguing to watch, and excited for next Monday. We'll hopefully get more accepted invitations, and the announcement will go out again, and we'll be able to talk more about those. We got lots of cool stuff to talk about throughout the rest of the week, including rookie performances. We've got to update you on offensive, defensive, rookie of the year races, and talk about how some of these guys are being used right now in the Alvin Kamara show that is taking place in the NFL. Has he come out of nowhere? Not nowhere, but you know when expected. A couple weeks ago, Kareem Hunt, Deshaun Watson, they were offensive rookie of the years. Has Kamara come out of nowhere to be the top guy in that conversation? Would be a pretty cool story if it did happen. We're going to talk about that and more as the week moves on, get you set for another exciting weekend of football, both in the college realm and in the NFL. Excited for it, looking forward to it. Until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.